Do not be afraid. I bring good news. But St. Paul, in our second passage, said, I am grateful to him who has strengthened me, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he considered me trustworthy in appointing me to the ministry. St. Paul, the former Saul, who was a Pharisee, who persecuted the church, even condoned the stoning of St. Stephen, the first martyr, had been called by the risen Lord and became the Paul, the great missionary and evangelist to the Gentile people. St. Paul knew, though, that his ministry was inseparable from the church. Christ founded a church upon his apostles. Through the church, the gospel continued to be preached. Through the church, the sacraments offered and the saving graces of salvation flowed. So St. Paul was mindful then that he was only part of a mystical body of Christ, meaning that just as our human body has all kinds of different organs that work together, having their own function, but work together to make our body work under, one could say, the brain guiding everything, so is the church. That Christ is the head, and we each have our own part, our own role to play, and we work together to make the church function. Therefore, we really have to ask ourselves a question: where would we be if we didn't have a church, if we didn't have this church, if we didn't have the bigger church? Perhaps we might have the Lone Ranger kind of ministry that some have that pops up around Route 7 and so on. Or what about what happened to the Jewish people? Think of our first passage. Moses has been up on Mount Sinai for 40 days now in the presence of God. He's received the Ten Commandments. And then God says to Moses, look, these people have become depraved. They're worshiping a molten idol, a golden calf. It's like, how could they do that? With all that God has done for them, how could they do that? Here they were slaves in Egypt. God heard their cry. God sent Moses. Through Moses, God performed those different signs, the last being the Passover. He leads them out of Egypt, parts the Red Sea, destroys the Egyptian army, leads them to the Promised Land. When they complain, we don't have enough to eat, he sends manna. When they say, we don't like this anymore, he sends quail. When they say, we're thirsty, he gives them water. And what do? Without the leadership of Moses and that visible identity as the people of God, they turn to the false idols. And so could we if we didn't have our church. St. John Vianney, the great patron saint of parish priests, who lived in the mid-1800s, said that leave a parish without a priest for 20 years, and the people will return to worshiping beasts. Now, the beasts might be the molten calves, or it could be the money, the material things, the power and authority, the pleasures. So, where would we be without this church? Well, my brothers and sisters, you know, in our tradition, this is our commitment Sunday as a parish. So we take our minds back, and we think that in the year 2000, Bishop Laverty founded this parish to serve the needs of you all, of the whole community. So we met in, as you remember, Holy Potomac Falls High School, met at the Lutheran Church, met at the Senior Citizen Center, and eventually we built this church. So our school opened in fall of 2005, and this church was dedicated January 2006. But so much good has happened since then, just having this church. I can tell you that I've known individuals as well as whole families that had lapsed from the faith, didn't practice, but because of this church, came back. I've known individuals as well as whole families who had no church, no faith, but came and entered our church. Or I've met people at the Giant store, the gas station. I remember one man said, "Father, I'm not a Catholic, but I enjoy stopping in your church to pray." Or another man said, "I'm not a Catholic, but every time I drive down Algonquin and I see your church, I'm reminded to pray." So there's much goodness because of this church. But it's not just a physical building. It's a building with living stones, meaning us. This church works because of us. So my role as pastor, along with my helpers, Father Shear and Father Sly, we're entrusted to make sure the gospel continues to be preached, that you have the truths of our Catholic Church, that the Mass is offered, that the sacraments are offered, and so on. But it also takes you all. And that's why we've always had this Commitment Sunday. The first commitment, though, is a personal one. It's a commitment to love the Lord above all things. Everything's starting again. So school has started, the activities, sports, and so on. Don't let life control you. You have to control life. Always keep the Lord as the number one priority in your life. And that's why you need to take the time and commit yourselves to time for prayer each day, for Mass on Sundays, the holy days, for taking time to read Scripture or maybe another spiritual text, to doing good work. But this is essential. Consider that God gives each of us 24 hours a day, 168 hours a week. How much time do we give back to God in proportion to everything else? And for you parents, you have such a sacred obligation because your home really has to be like the little domestic church. You have to be keeping your children close to the Lord. Pope Benedict, 3 years ago when he went to visit his home area of Bavaria, Germany, said this, "Dear parents, I ask you to help your children grow in faith. Please go with your children to church and take part in Sunday Mass. You will see that this is not time lost. Rather, it is the very thing that can keep your family truly united and centered. And please pray together at home too, at meals and before going to bed. Prayer does not only bring us nearer to God, but also nearer to one another. It is a powerful source of peace and joy. Family life becomes more joyful and expansive whenever God is there and His closeness is experienced in prayer." While we make that personal commitment to love our Lord, we also have to know Him. Because if we don't know Him, how can we really love Him? Therefore, religious education starts this week. Granted, our grade school already started, but our religious education classes for the children in the county schools begins this week. Every child here, if you aren't in our grade school, should be enrolled in religious education. Granted, it's an hour and 15 minutes a week, but it's really only a supplement to what should be taught at home. Every child from first grade through eighth should be in religious ed. Now, sometimes parents will have their kids involved for First Communion, then they disappear till it's time for confirmation. It breaks a continuity. The faith has to be learned with a continuous religious education. Things have to be reinforced. So parents, make sure you're not only enrolling your children, but you are reinforcing that education at home. But also, after confirmation, when children are in high school, now young people, we have our different teen groups. And so Father Shear has done a great job with putting together our high school teen group that meets on Tuesday nights. In the bulletin, you'll see a flyer for that. They meet, they have prayer, sometime for catechesis, like this Tuesday, the existence of God, and then also time for fun. It's a great way, though, for the young people to meet other parishioners and to stay involved in a parish. It's a great way to have good Catholic friends. For the 7th and 8th graders, there's also a flyer about the junior high program that begins this evening. Now, parents, your kids need encouragement. So some kids might say, I don't want to go, or I don't know anybody. Well, bring a friend. Encourage your children. Give it a try. It does great things for the lives of our young people. But as we're talking about education, also this week, the Bible study begins Wednesday with Father Sly. Thursday, the inquiry class. So I invite all of you who want to know more about your faith from an adult perspective to come to the inquiry class. A special invitation is given to those who may not be Catholic, but you're here with your family, you worship here regularly. Come. Maybe the Holy Spirit will move you to fully embrace the Catholic faith so that you can fully worship with us and receive Holy Communion. Maybe you know someone in your neighborhood or even in your family that's lapsed, gone astray. Bring them. And the emphasis is bring them. Like I know a family in the parish, their next door neighbors, lapsed from the faith. Well, those two adult neighbors are now going to come, but the other neighbors are bringing them. How wonderful that is. A way to bring people closer to God. Also, we have two book groups, one for the young adults, one for other adults. They go through a spiritual book. You'll see this in the bulletin. We need to know our faith. And St. Dominic always said, study is prayer. So when we're studying, and if we're meditating, we're going to grow not only in our knowledge of the Lord, but in our love for our Lord. But then that brings us to a commitment of service, to serve your parish. Today is our first pancake breakfast. And so the Knights of Columbus have been busy. I hope all of you will take time after Mass to enjoy some time with your fellow parishioners. But downstairs you'll see different boards, tables from the different groups. Think of a way you can serve your parish. Maybe it is joining the Knights of Columbus, or Our Ladies of Hope, or the Legion of Mary. A special plug for our music ministry, whether this choir, the 1030 choir. Think about committing yourself to singing. How wonderful it is to know that you're helping people worship God. A person doesn't have to be an opera star to be part of the music program, just to have a joyful heart. And then, too, think of other ways that you might serve the parish, perhaps like as an usher. One other parish little flyer you'll see this week is for parish outreach. We're trying to revive that. So this is sort of like on a need basis. So maybe you can dedicate an hour as needed to driving someone to a doctor's appointment, or maybe preparing a meal for someone who's in need in the parish. So just to put your name on a list of potential service volunteers, consider that. Other ways that we can serve is through, for instance, the blood drive today, or our food drive. How wonderful it is to give to those in need, like those who might need blood, or those who need food. I heard a report recently where there's 17,000 people in Loudoun County, the richest county in the country, who do not have enough to eat, but rely on like Link Interfaith Catholic Charities for food. 17,000 people in our county. We don't always see that, do we? Think of a way to serve. But part of this, too, is just helping your parish through your own tithing financially. In the bulletin, you'll also find our parish annual report that's submitted to the diocese for the fiscal year ending June 30th this year. On the other side, there's a little explanation letter from myself. It highlights our debt, what we've paid, where we are, and so on. As your pastor, I have to be very upfront that we're very blessed. After all, we've had a church since January 2006. We've had a school. Now, I know St. Teresa's waited 21 years for a parish church. St. John's waited over 21 years. My home parish, St. Bernadette's, did. We're blessed. But it does take your financial support. I do have to say, we have some unknowns. This whole Affordable Health Care Act, for instance, the diocese told the pastors that just the administrative costs for the diocese are going to go up at least $160,000. So that means they're going to hit us with probably $3,000. And that doesn't include how much the premiums are going to go up and the two-thirds contribution that we make for our employees. So I ask you to look into your hearts and think about the sacrifice financially that you make for your church. Are you giving in proportion with your blessings? I tithe. It's the way I was raised. I would ask you to look and see what sacrifice you can make to support your church. But in all, my brothers and sisters, we've been very blessed as a parish. But we have to go back on this Commitment Sunday to ask ourselves, where would we be if we didn't have this church, this parish? But also, where would our parish be if we didn't have the commitment of each one of us? After all, this parish is as good as the commitment of each one of us to love our Lord, to know our Lord, and to serve our Lord. May God bless you.